It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey there, Chicago. It's me, Frank Fontana. Thanks for tuning in. It's the show that keeps on giving. We have a really good show today and some sad news that we'll share later on, but we won't start off that way. And it's not really sad. It's sad for me, but maybe not for Ross. Say hi to Ross Cochran, everybody.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Did we set that up good? I mean,
you
a lot
did.
Of mystery there.
There's a lot of intrigue.
Yeah, yeah. If you could guess what's going to happen, folks, please text us at 312-981-7200. We'd love to take random guess of what's about to happen at the end of the show.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, we've been, you know, on and off. So I just want to let you know, for our diehard fans following the show, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We've just been preempted by lots of sports lately.
Yes. The good news for Chicago is that sports are still happening this time of year. And
our teams are winning, and there's lots of exposure for them. So that's good. If I was on the air, that means the Blackhawks aren't doing well.
Yes. That's a good way of looking at it. So, yeah, Game 7 Monday.
Yeah, bummer for me, great for the Blackhawks, great for WGN Radio, but we miss you. We miss doing the show all the time. But we're back. I think we got a steady run going. Depending on what the Blackhawks do, we want to win here.
Yes, we will happily sacrifice a Sunday afternoon or two if it means more Stanley Cups in Chicago.
Yes, especially when it's going to be near 80 degrees outside. I could take one for the team when it's that nice out.
Yes.
All right, coming up on the show today, we're talking everything from wood sunglasses. That's right, you heard me. Sunglasses made out of wood. They're really neat. I got a pair sent to me, and they're fantastic. I'm actually going to put them on for the whole show because it's very bright in the studio.
Yes.
We're in the Allstate studio, and the windows are just blaring with beautiful sunshine. So
and then people will look in and be like, wow, that radio guy keeps
sunglasses
on the entire time.
What a tool. He's wearing sunglasses while he's on the radio. No, folks, I'm doing it for market research, really, is what this is. So the company is Woodsy. And they do a great job, man. I'm a wood kind of guy. This is my world. It's sharp. I will post some pictures on Facebook so you can get the visual on this. But picture your favorite wood, like teak or zebra wood, shaped into your face and the best pair of glasses you can ever imagine. That's Woodsy. We're talking to Luke Winter, who is the founder of them, and tell us how they got started. My guess is he is a whittler. Him and his dad whittled.
And then he whittled something that looked like sunglasses.
Right.
And he went, wait a minute.
This could be brilliant.
Yep.
We'll get the real story from Luke in just a little bit here. We'll also be talking to Dr. Jonathan Weiss about five easy ways to save on healthcare in studio. And this is an important topic. You know, everybody gets to that age, Ross, I'm sure you know, with your daughter mm-hmm. and all that. Healthcare is really important.
It is, and it's very confusing.
It's so confusing, and if you don't know how to navigate it, like myself and you and everybody who's got healthcare for the first time, because I'm sure you did not sit through the 200 pamphlets that you have to read
right.
and the 10-page contract
right.
that you need two attorneys to review
yep.
And understand fully what you're getting into. But the good Dr. Weiss is here to join us and clarify all those myths and misunderstandings about the healthcare industry. So that's something you want to tune in for. 2:05, we're talking to the CEO of Chicago Scholars. Dominique Turner is joining us in studio for our continuing Wonder Woman series launched by our good friend Miss Kathleen Henson over
yes.
Kathleen Henson Consulting. A big shout out to Mrs. Henson going through some good stuff, changing her life, making it even better.
That's true. And what's happening at 2:30, Frank?
Oh, big, big guest for the 2:30.
It's a big get. It took me 6 months to be able to book this interview.
No joke. It really did. I mean, she's that busy. She's a mom of two. She is a babe and a superwoman, in my opinion. She's also the co-star of my new television show, Downtown Shabby, on the FYI Network that will be airing sometime the last quarter of this year, filming starting next week.
That's awesome.
Miss Sherry Fontana.
Yeah.
Yeah. And via kids as well, she'll be, and I'm just going to forewarn everybody, there will be children in the background. If you don't like children, don't listen, okay, because we're going to be doing an interview and we have no babysitter. So
right.
You're going to get a huge slice into our world and how this reality renovation show is actually going to play out when you got a real family and you got young kids and big demands and you're trying to juggle it all.
Yep.
You know, it's
And what's the show called?
It's called Downtown Shabby, and we're still casting for homeowners, as a matter of fact. And that's part of what we're going to talk about, how you, if you are about to take on a renovation, you got a little budget set aside, and you want some professional help, people who know what the heck they're doing, we're restoring older homes. So what that means is 1950s and older. If you have a home that's 1950s and older, whether it's mid-century, Victorian, Dutch colonial, any one of those or any other bungalow-type homes in Chicago, we are still casting for homeowners. If you want to be on television, have your entire renovation documented and saved for, you know, as we go through this process talking to some of these homeowners, one of the big things that people are saying why they want to do this show is because how amazing would it be to have this life-changing experience, transforming your home, transforming your life, documented on national television for your young kids to have forever? I mean, that's huge.
That's very cool.
It's like better than a wedding video.
Well, most things are better than a wedding video.
Right, exactly. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
So that's happened at 2:35. Sherry Fontana will be here to talk all about the new show, Downtown Shabby, and how she's handling all the pressure, being she's never been on television before. And by the way, this will be her first live radio interview.
That's what she, I heard that. Yeah, that's yeah. Yeah, she'll be yeah. ready though.
FYI, she's next door drinking at the moment. prepping for the show. That's really what she's doing. All right, we got to take a quick break here and we'll get the circus started right after that.
He's a dad. He's a designer. He's the guy who can make your house a home. And maybe make your husband a little handier.
No, you're not.
This is the Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be here till 3 o'clock. And, you know, right now we're prepping for our television show at our house, and my wife will tell you more about it later, but we're going through this process of, you know, having a home look great is always awesome. You know, I encourage, it's what I do. But having a home look great for television is two different things. You know, there's a, we did phase one of our decorating. We got our renovation done. For those of you who don't know, we have a 1900 farmhouse in downtown LaGrange, and we did tons of work to it just to get it to a livable place. And then after that, we started doing the interior decor. We got super busy like everybody else in the world. They get distracted. You start, you stop, you start, you stop. Well, we were at a good place, and we thought. And then you know, as we started to get into the process of realizing we're going to shoot at our house, it's got to look even better than – it's got to look like I have a magazine perfectly. You know, everything's got to be set. It's like you walk into a store, you know, everything's just propped perfectly. Well, that's how the house has to look for television. Couple that with two young children, a two-year-old girl, Lola, and a four-year-old boy, Luca. That's a very tough task that we have. So a lot of times we buy pieces, of the especially the last 2 weeks, we've been buying random stuff, sticking it in, see if it works. Doesn't work, we're going to bring it back. And it's a process. I mean, that's the process of design. You can have a great plan when you bring something in a room due to lighting, color. Maybe it just doesn't work. But let's say you love a piece, right? Like we bought this faux cowhide rug, all right? Beautiful, brownish, brindle, a little bit of tan, a little bit of cream in it. And we have this kind of you know, farmhouse Victorian vibe going on. So we thought, let's inject it with some nature, some organic elements. And I like the idea of a hide, and that brings in a whole different vibe. It's amazing because at first we were like, oh, it doesn't work. We're going to have to bring it back. It was so expensive. We love it. We love it. We love it. Let's figure out how to work with it. So we started peeling back all the layers of the decor in the room. And all of a sudden, we're like, all right, maybe we hold on for a second. So we started looking around the house. We found a brown leather wingback that I just love. It's like a crushed leather, distressed, and it looks like it's been around forever. Threw that in that living room. Boom. That picked up some brown tones. Then from there, we started bringing in some farmhouse accessories that pulled over some other wood tones. And before you know it, instead of sacrificing the rug, we found a cool way to fix the whoopsie, right? Whoopsie. Well, in lieu of that, we have 9 fast solutions for decorating mistakes, courtesy of our friends at House, that is relevant to what we're going through right now. And exactly what I'm talking about, let's talk about rugs, right? Who really has bought a zebra print rug, Ross? Have you ever bought a zebra print?
No, I had a zebra incident, so I don't buy rugs.
You don't, yeah. Did you
get attacked
by a zebra?
No, but that'd be a better story. No, I, as my wife would tell you, the only thing I ever buy is nothing. Everything I buy, she
buys. It's very safe.
It's safe to just, you know, it's, I never have to have an allowance because I just, I don't, I'm not ever going, oh, I want that.
Yeah.
But what about the
Let's say in the event that you did buy stuff for your home.
Sure.
And we'd love to hear from you guys at home too, listening. 312-981-7200. You could text or call. Let us know what your big whoopsie is that you fixed, because this is what that's all about. So say you brought the Zebra rug. It didn't work into a room. Don't give up yet. If you like that piece, try using it in another room of your house instead of getting rid of it altogether. You never know when it brings life to a different space you never imagined it would. So my theory is before you go back or return or throw it out, try it in all the different spaces. And if it doesn't work at that point, you know, donate it.
Yeah, so a Zebra rug would work in like a kid's room where it can be a little bit crazier.
Or a living room that has kind of an earthy, imported vibe to it. Or a stale room that just needs a pop of color. And rugs are an interesting way to bring in color options. So if black was something you always love, like a black turned candlestick or a black framed mirror, using that Zebra rug to create an accent element can allow that to happen.
Right.
All right. On to number two here. Story and space. Soften the bold wall. So say you painted a wall. You love like vibrant green, right? Kelly green. You're like, this was the color of the year 3 years ago. I want it on my wall. And you put it on the wall and you're like, I love it, but it's like, I need my sunglasses. I need my woodsy sunglasses on.
Right. And for the record, don't sound like that if you're going to be on Frank's TV show. You've got to paint the wall. I was going to paint it 3 years ago.
No, actually, I would love if you actually sounded. That would be great.
Good TV.
Yeah, it'd be good TV. So, you know, if this gorgeous green featured wall is now becoming a bit of an eyesore, but you still kind of like the color, try doing this. Work with it. Now, consider the green as just simply a backdrop at that point, and then fill it with these really eclectic frames with really cool photography that contrast, that maybe have a lighter element to it. Keep all the frames maybe in a monochromatic color like white. And then you just took your whoopsie of a paint color and turned it into a backdrop for a gallery wall. You know, that's a simple, easy way to fix that.
Yeah, that all makes sense to me, and I don't know very much, so yes.
Yeah, well, there you go. Just agree. That's all you have to do. It's just, yeah, Frank, that sounds good. Because you're really not paying attention is the reality. Well, he's on the phone. He's typing. He's like
trying to get
sending
guess,
emails.
Yeah.
Watching weird videos on YouTube.
Whoa.
All right, number three here, bring in some white in the space. If you have a lot of color and pattern is going, a lot of color and patterns going on in the room, it can help to add some really simple pieces that are in a white, right? So try beige if white's not your thing, if you want to do a little off-white. Gray upholstery is nice to neutralize a room. So this is for a room that's got too much going on, right? You got all those gallery photos I just mentioned. You got accessories everywhere. You got bold curtains, lots of bold. Try neutralizing it with some bigger scale furniture. Like your sofa is probably one of the largest pieces of furniture you'll have in your living room. So make that a bit more neutral to help tone down the room. So that, you know, the point being here is there's never really a mistake if you are patient enough and love a piece or love a color or love something in your room that you're willing to work around. You know, like the rug thing is a great example. You can experiment with a lot of different rugs if you like a wall color. You know, what's up?
And also, you know, you can never make a design mistake if you listen to this show, if you follow Frank Fontana on Twitter, if you like fake Frank Fontana on Facebook.
Thanks, man.
If you watch Downtown Shabby.
True. But I tell you this about us and me. I'm a practical realism designer.
Right.
You know, like we have young kids. Like in my next book, I'm going to write a whole chapter to, is it really worth it to over design when you have kids?
Oh, sure.
You know, because you will shortly experience this. Your rugrat is still a rugrat.
Yes, very much so.
When she starts walking and starts taking crayons and painting and stuff on your sofa that you love, and your wainscoting on the lower wall becomes a backdrop for her art.
And she's so excited about it, too.
Oh, how could you be mad? It's your child. But what I've come to understand is you just got to kind of throw your hands up and say, am I going to continue to spend high-end dollar on beautifully designed pieces that will shortly be destroyed by my children? Or do you suck it up for a few years, live with good stuff, keep it as clean as possible, use some of the tricks that I use, like constantly steam cleaning our sofa from our buddies at Executive Green Carpet Cleaning.
Nice.
You know, that's the only thing you could do.
Right.
You know, is really just like grunt through these years at a medium design rate until they're a little older. Then save those dollars that you were thinking you'd love to do, because we had all great intentions. We bought all this amazing furniture and moved in, and it was like, you know, model perfect home. And then literally every time something happened, I'd cringe. And finally my wife's like, we got to stop.
Yep.
They're kids. Like, give up on making this house a showpiece right now.
Right.
We're getting better.
Yeah.
You know, we're introducing a little. They're understanding that daddy doesn't like when they paint on the sofa. Right? Anyways, well, I'll post the rest of these, you know, whoopsies that you can fix on our Facebook page on WGN Radio, as well as my Facebook page, Frank Fontana. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with news after that and talk to Dr. Jonathan Weiss about some healthcare issues. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Frank Fontana. We're moving along here into our second half hour. It's moving so fast.
It is. Yeah, it is. To give everyone a peek behind the radio curtain, the reason that I sounded a little distracted during that past segment,
frazzled. Yes.
Was Luke Winter from Woodsy. If you're listening, we were going to talk to you.
You're gone. What happened? We were going to talk about these amazing songs. You know, I do my Frank's Fave segment where I find the elements and pieces and decor and tools and product that I just love and I want to share with you guys, and I test it out. And I had these amazing glasses from a company called Woodsy that I just happened to found. And they're
Earth Day was Friday.
Earth Day was Friday. And they're a conscious consumerism company. They use recycled wood. And they're all about saving Mother Earth. And they make really cool sunglasses made out of wood. And it's really unfortunate we couldn't talk to them. But, man, at least these glasses look cool.
Yeah, they do. Right? And if, you know, and let this be a lesson to any small business out there, that if you send us stuff, even if you stiff us for the interview, we'll still plug you.
That's right, because we're, you know, we want to promote great companies
and
people doing innovative stuff out there. So anyone listening who has innovative product that's in the home world or that's really exciting, we'll be happy to talk to you and send us some samples, and we'll review them and let you know, if we can get you on the air, because we want to support our community. You know, speaking of whoopsies and stuff, I heard this about the Cubs the other day.
Yeah. We were talking about this over the break. The Cubs completely redesigned, their clubhouse, and, Kevin Powell, who former producer of the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah. I heard he's now no longer afternoon, producer.
Afternoons, with Ro Khan.
Yeah. Was there a big fight? Did him and like your dad and Ro go at it at all?
Or? They did. But
it was a cage match, wasn't it?
It was a thing where they both, my dad and Ro stood like sort of far away from each other, and they both called Kevin, and they held up a piece of bacon to see which direction he'd go in. But no, he got a peek at it, and you can see all this over at WGNRadio.com.
Right.
But it's this insane clubhouse. They have, you know, like a dance area. They have a game area.
Okay, let's go ahead. So the original Cubs clubhouse was really kind of more just sophisticated?
Generic. Old school. Because Wrigley is the oldest ballpark.
Sure.
Still being used. I'm sorry, before I get a text about that, Fenway is older, but one of the oldest ballparks. So they redesigned everything, and it's this awesome clubhouse. They spent a lot of money on it, and as a lot of players were saying, this is going to help with free agents, because now players are going to see this and, you know, want to come and be in this clubhouse.
Right. I mean, why not? They have a big win. Instead of going out to nightclubs getting in trouble,
they can just be all in their own clubhouse, because the part that I found hysterical was they kept the old players' lounge, the old area that they used to go to, and now call it the celebration room. Where the Cubs, who are a very good team and are going to win a lot of games.
A fairly young team, I would say.
The people who run the Cubs went, we have a bunch of children. So
we need a nanny. Right.
So let's give them a room where we can let them kind of destroy the place.
Yeah.
You should definitely.
Do you think they got like little GoPro cameras hidden somewhere? They must, right?
Because, I mean, like, you know,
the upper is like, it's got to be Big Brother watching their
You should watch the games on WGN TV, and you should be able to make sure that, you know, you're watching, because they're a very good team, and they'll celebrate in this room. So, you know, the opposite of what you were talking about with your kids, where now they're not giving their children, the players, the opportunity to paint on the couch all the nice stuff that they've redesigned the clubhouse with. So
maybe we can get a tour of that.
We should.
Yeah. And would this be a good time to talk about you, Ross?
Yeah, let's do that. So,
yeah, it's a sad day here on the show. I mentioned it on the top of the show. We had a couple people texted on what they thought was the reason for my sadness. But it's a good thing. It's yes. like it's kind of like when your child grows up and it's time to leave the nest. Our young Ross is leaving the nest.
I am.
For all good reasons, though.
Yes. So,
what'd you tell us?
Yeah, so I left my dad's show, the Steve Cochran show.
Who's Steve Cochran?
Yeah. Just about a month ago, and to go work for David Hochberg over at Pearl Mortgage. If you were listening on Thursday, you got to hear David Hochberg sing a song about me leaving, written by John DeCoste.
This is a really big deal.
It was.
Wait, John wrote it?
John wrote it. It was hysterical.
It had to be brilliant.
It was hysterical. Yeah. And David is many things. Singer is not one. So.
No.
Did
he voluntarily do that, or your dad and John squeezed him until he did?
They kind of suggested it. It was that's a Cats in the Cradle.
I love that song. That's the undertone beat.
Yes,
there. Nice.
That's also on WGN Radio. So, yeah. It's been great over at Pro Mortgage, but it has been far more intense than I anticipated. I expected this show that I could keep doing. As a way of, you know, I still love radio, still love producing.
And this has been your home. Even, you know, before you even worked here with your dad for years, you were telling the stories. You used to come here around 10 years old.
And play behind my dad on the rug that is probably hasn't been cleaned since then. I was there.
I'm looking at it now.
And this place is home. So it became clear shortly after starting a Pearl that I needed to fully go to school, go to college.
And I support that.
So Frank will have a new producer the next time he's on.
Reluctantly, I will say this. Ross has been, and I've had, this is no knock to WGN Radio, but I've had 7 producers since I've started almost three years ago here. Yeah. And it's normal in the radio industry to have
turnover
like that. Ross is one of the best. I mean, and I say that not because he's sitting in front of me, but I really mean that. I mean, I'm sad genuinely to see him go because the show was, he's brought our show to a new level.
Thanks, Ben.
And once he passes the baton, we'll see. You know,
yes.
I'll keep delivering. We just got to make sure that back end keeps delivering on your side. But we're going to miss you. But Ross is moving on to bigger, better things. If anybody needs a mortgage, by the way, call Ross. You know, he'll hook you up with the best deal out there. The rates are good right now, aren't they?
They are. No, it's a great time to be entering this industry. The cool thing about what Pearl's doing is that especially with the amount of volume that David Hochberg deals in, I'm starting in this entry-level position and I'm going to be able to work my way up. Everyone over there is super supportive of that, super patient with me.
You know,
I came from radio, and now I'm going into this world.
Like, so do you walk in with your radio voice? You're like, hey, good morning, everybody.
It's me,
Ross Cochran.
Every time the phone rings, I say, 7th caller. it's been great over there, and I'll be able to work my way up and eventually be able to come on shows as a mortgage guest.
Do you have – and that will be for sure – do you have a number, an email address you want to give out?
We can definitely help out over at Pearl. If you call me at 312-280-5783, I will connect you with people who can legally do your mortgage. Because at this point, without a license, I can only give you illegal mortgages.
And if you mention Frank Fontana show when you call Ross, he'll say, who? I don't know that guy. Not anymore.
That was previous life.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. I mean, this has been it was great to be able to do something on Sundays that I had practiced doing all week on Mondays.
You know,
the intensity of the morning show to be able to come here and just
chill
out a little bit was great.
Put your plugs on and go to sleep back there. I think the fans are going to miss hearing the stories of baby Abigail and your daddy check in every week. So maybe you could still call in. Would that be cool?
Absolutely.
Tell us how the baby's doing.
I'm excited about the fact that the direction we're leaning in for a producer is going to be someone from your world.
I had so
much of a learning curve because as people who've seen me know, design's not really my thing.
Right. But you I will say this, you compensated well.
Thank you.
You immersed yourself in the world. You took punches like a champion. Meaning, you know, you using you for fodder, your lack of interior styling, but you're a good sport, and we're gonna miss you.
Thanks, man.
You will be calling in regularly.
Absolutely,
I could tell you that. How you doing, folks? All right, so we're gonna take a quick break here, and we're gonna come back and learn about the healthcare system a little bit better. We're going to learn five easy ways you can navigate this with a really brilliant doctor, Dr. Jonathan Weiss, who wrote the manual on this stuff. And I'm ready to get educated. Join me, won't you, folks? Don't go anywhere.
The show that puts the improv in home improvement. It's Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
Hey, folks, that's me. Thanks for joining us. We're here till 3 o'clock. Coming up at 2:35, we'll be talking to the star of the new hit TV show, well, soon-to-be hit TV show on FYI Network, Downtown Shabby. Sherry Fontana will be joining me.
It's a good move by you calling your wife the star of the show.
Well, of course. What do you think I want? I want a happy home. Are you crazy? I'm just a guy who sweeps the floors. I don't care. Hey, let's talk about something serious now. Healthcare. Something I seriously hate. Really. Not that I hate. Everyone needs it. But it's the industry itself that just, I don't want to say sucks, but it kind of sucks. At least learning about it does. So we're going to be talking to somebody right now who knows all about it. And if you've got the questions like I do and you're confused about the whole thing, let's talk to Dr. Jonathan Weiss to help clear the air. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Frank.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. So, Doc, you have five easy ways to save on health care. Tell me all about it.
Sure. Well, first of all, what I think a lot of people don't understand is you might have insurance, but that doesn't mean you're completely covered. So first of all, I encourage people to always learn about their plan, what it covers. Is there a deductible? How much is that? Is there an out-of-pocket maximum? That's how much you might have to spend during the year before the insurer covers the whole thing. And what might be out-of-network? People go out of network, that can lead to no coverage at all. So that's the first point, I'd say. Shop around.
Can I pause you there for a second, Doc? Because
yeah.
Right there, I have like a gazillion questions. You know, it's like, for me, why is it so confusing? Why can't they just simplify this process with like bullet points and say, here's the 10 things you need to be concerned with. The rest is just legal fodder. And just because it really is meant to be so damn confusing.
Well, it's a historical thing. I mean, for many years, we never paid for health care. And suddenly, everyone's paying for it directly. And when I say we didn't pay for it, it was covered outside of what we saw when we went to the doctor or got a procedure. And suddenly, after the ACA especially, people are having to go through systems that themselves never before had to communicate with patients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it still doesn't really answer the fact that why can't it be simplified? You know, I get it. I know there's a lot of in between, but it's really I hate to say this, it's a shyster business, and no disrespect.
Well,
I mean, and I don't mean you. I just mean the entire insurance business. It's just one of those things.
It's the largest sector in the country. It's one out of every $5, and really, that's what Health Engine is about. That's the company I run, which is physician-led, and we've taken a look at it and said, you know, for so many decades, it's been paid for and processed in a different way than it is today. It should be as simple as any other industry. So what Health Engine does is goes out, figures out what the prices are for different services. Those can vary by up to 7 times what one place down the road might have for, say, an MRI or a colonoscopy. And we've put that out so you can see it before you're choosing where to get your care.
See, now that makes sense to me. Now you're helping me simplify the problem. So tell me about Health Engine.
Well, as I said, we're the first online marketplace that's led and founded by doctors that says every other industry in America and for the world, most of the part, when you shop for anything, you get to know what it costs, what the quality is before you access it or buy it. And the same should be true for healthcare. It's not unique in any way other than it's never been done that way.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's one of the toughest industries to sort through, and having people kind of help you through that process isn't a bad thing. And some of the suggestions you say is the whole idea of shopping around. You guys, sounds like you guys actually do a lot of that for people.
We do. We've been doing it for a number of years. And so what we've come up with is an online platform and a concierge service that backs it. It's free, and it helps people tell us which plan they're in, which automatically shows us what kind of deductible they have, where they are in that deductible, how much they might need to spend after the procedure's done, and make sure that they get the right care for them, help their doctor choose alongside them, and also make sure they stay in network.
Got it. And then you mentioned reviewing your bill. Is this a common thing people don't do, in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you'd be shocked at the number of ways you can end up writing a check or paying for a service that you didn't have or which was coded wrongly or which, frankly, if you try and work with the hospital or the facility and through your physician, you can oftentimes reduce by 50, 60%.
Wow. I think I should start reviewing my bill at least a little, at least a little further. I do review them, but I kind of look at like top line numbers and bottom line numbers. I don't actually go with a fine tooth comb through every single line item, but maybe I'm going to start doing that. I have my wife start doing that. And then you say, talk to your doctor.
Yeah. Believe it or not, physicians don't really know what the costs are in the system. They don't know who's in your network. Oftentimes these days they're part of a hospital or they're employed by a system and they're sort of just told what to do when in fact the choice is yours and your doctor's based on what's clinically best for you and also what fits with convenience, quality, and cost that's going to be, you know, something you're paying.
Got it. And let me ask you a question. Do you think most doctors, and this is a broad-based question, are driven by the insurance first? It seems like the insurance industry has handcuffed doctors to a degree. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. I think docs, you know, are so inundated with administrative issues and bureaucracy. And remember, they're trying to see patients keep up with medical practice, make decisions that are literally life and death. And they've got all these forms and paperwork to fill out. Oftentimes, that's why I said they don't even know what your network looks like, what it's going to cost you. And the worst thing for a doc is when, Frank, you come back and say, hey, you sent me for, you know, a lab test or an MRI down the street, and I found out I could have gotten it for $1,000 less. That came out of my POC, doc.
Yeah, I've been there before. It's not a fun thing.
No, it's not.
You know, I often dream, Doc, we're talking to Dr. Jonathan Weiss here from Health Engine, what would it be like if I completely unplugged from the insurance world? Like, is that a physical possibility? Because if you equate to the money spent on healthcare, an individual, let's say, you know, whatever, I pay roughly, you know, $1,200 a month, let's say, for my family.
Yeah.
We're not big doctor people. Like, we go out of necessity. We don't run and jump at every single, you know, sneeze and blip that happens in our home. We just don't believe in it. We're very holistic minded.
Right.
And if I was to do the math at the end of the year versus how many times I go to the doctor and what if I paid out of pocket for it, would it be much cheaper? And it always seems to be, it would be way cheaper if I just held on to my money and paid when I had to pay the doctor directly. Is that ever going to be a realistic scenario where it financially would balance out?
We're getting toward there, and that's, again, where Health Engine helps out, because currently the insurers haven't really negotiated the best rates. They've just capped the most you're going to have to spend. Mm-hmm. What we don't have and what Health Engine brings is the ability to take you and your family and say to the physicians and hospitals out there, hey, when I do need care, I want you to compete. I want you to compete on quality, on convenience, service, and cost. Mm-hmm. Through that means alone, you can oftentimes, most times, do better than the insurance would that you're paying $1,200 a month. But I still encourage you to have some level of catastrophic insurance.
Sure.
You know, gosh forbid something really devastating happens. And that's really where we're moving toward under the ACA.
So it would be, just to help me clarify, there is catastrophic insurance solely, like you wouldn't have to have the day-to-day, but have maybe like emergency room, births, that kind of big stuff covered? Is there
Well, you can choose different plans that have higher levels of deductibles. And a deductible basically means for most services, you're paying every dollar until your health plan starts to chip in or cover the whole thing. And those are, you know, by definition, cheaper on a monthly basis. So you could have a lot less of a monthly spend. And when you do have these events, and most of the time you're dreading them, except for the birth of a healthy child, I always say, then you know, you're covered, and through a marketplace like Health Engine, even then you're driving the best service and best quality and best price, frankly, at the end of the day, that you wouldn't get with just a typical insurance plan.
Yeah, and those, the whole deductible game, man, that's another one. It just kills people. You know, you think you're choosing a decent deductible. You're going to the doctor. You go to the doctor, and you realize I'm still paying out of pocket, and I'm paying insurance every month. What am I doing? You know, how do you get off this roller coaster? How do you get off this hamster wheel?
Well, it's really not the docs that are costing money here in healthcare. It's those are copays you're spending when you go to the doctor and have just a visit, and most people associate that with, you know, the question you're asking, why am I paying for insurance when it seems like every time I get a prescription filled or see a doctor, it's going to be another 10, 25, or 50 bucks, when in fact it's the emergency room visit or the surgery or the, you know, the birth of a child that's going to be where your insurance really steps in. But again, as I said, for the most part, people aren't encountering that are healthy, and you can protect against those, gosh forbid, situations with a catastrophic plan that costs a lot less monthly, and even then reduce the total cost that you're going to pay out of pocket by making sure you look at the price beforehand, force the hospitals to compete, and then review your bill as we discussed.
I like it. Some really good advice here, Doc. We're talking to Dr. Jonathan Weiss from Health Engine. Go visit healthengine.com, right?
And
to find out more information about the doctor and all this fantastic tips on how to save on healthcare, and maybe shop for your next plan through Health Engine. Doc,
and for your next service. We're happy to help you learn everything about the doctors and facilities all across the country. Every one of them's on there. And help you book that care, understand what it's going to cost, and get you a much lower price on that service.
Fantastic. And just a last parting question. Do you accept, like, holistic DOs and alternative doctors, or is it all MDs?
Well, DOs are not holistic. DOs are allopathic physicians or osteopathic that are licensed the same as MDs. So they're classified in the same privilege and profession as MDs. Allopathic, that encompasses everything we're talking about. On the naturopathic and homeopathic, we can definitely help you look into that. It's not the main drive that we've built to now, but it'll certainly be incorporated, and we believe in integrated care as well.
Fantastic, Doc. That's what I wanted to hear. I appreciate it. Have a fantastic Sunday.
You too. All the best.
You got it. Some good stuff there, folks. Hope you learned a little. So I did. I probably had a lot more questions too. We'll have to bring them back on the show. All right. We're going to take a quick break and do some news. And when we come back, we'll be toasting some Wonder Women. How about that? We'll see you right after the break. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. We're here till 3 o'clock. And you hear that music, you know what time it's for. No, Ross isn't going to come busting out in a Wonder Woman outfit. But although that would be great for the last show, Ross, for you.
I'll keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind for your comeback. No, it's time for our Wonder Woman series, where we focus on amazing women here from Chicago who have plowed the way for many others and are doing amazing things with amazing stories. And this week's guest, Wonder Woman, is Dominique Jordan-Turner. She's the president and CEO of Chicago Scholars. Dominique, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Frank, for having me. I'm honored to be on a show called Wonder Woman.
That's right. That's right. Well, you are a Wonder Woman. Let's tell people a little bit about your story and what you do. Let's start professionally with what you do.
So I have the privilege and honor of serving as the president and CEO of Chicago Scholars, and we're a nonprofit organization that works with amazing and dynamic young people all through the city of Chicago to get them to and through college. But most importantly, Frank, back here to Chicago to start their careers as leaders.
Yeah, so let's pause there. So it's to and through college, back here, then set you up so that you get into a great work environment.
It is. And let me give you some context of why that's important to and through and back here, right? So first of all, if you are a freshman in Chicago Public Schools, the chances of you graduating from college is just about 14%. Only 14% of those students will actually get a degree.
And what happens statistically to the other percentage?
Well, if you watch the news, listen to the news, right? You know it's not good. In Chicago, we just hit 1,000 shootings in the city, and we're number one leading in that. And so when you don't have young people focused on doing something productive, that's what happens.
God, that's just terrible. I mean, it really is. Where does all this money go that they pump into the schools?
Well, you know, here's the thing. There are so many talented young people. And in our program, I'll just give you some context. We are looking for the next class of students. 2,500 students applied for our program. Unfortunately, we can only choose about 500 of them.
That's a great amount, though.
Right?
500 is
fantastic.
And you're an independent organization that does this, right?
We are. But imagine 2,500 students raising their hand to say, I want a better life. I want to do more. I want to go to college. I want to make something out of myself.
So why hasn't Mayor Rahm Emanuel tapped you to take this on, to implement this statewide, and make it a mandatory thing?
Well, that's a good question. You should call him. But what
I'm calling you out, Rahm. Come on my show. Let's talk about
it. What I will say, though, is that Rahm did recently appoint me to the Board of Education.
Well, that's a start.
I think because of some of the great work that we do at Chicago Scholars and trying to highlight and identify some of the great talent that exists in the city of Chicago. So I think he's a proponent of education, and he wants to do what's right when it comes
despite
to education.
Despite all the negative news regarding education and Rahm.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's done a lot, and I think it's been overshadowed by a lot of other negative news, but he's done a lot to move the needle.
I like Rahm. I think he's a good mayor.
Yeah.
I really do. I'll go on record for that. Yeah, he's good people. So you are actually a product of this whole journey you created.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny because when I think about work, I don't think of it as work.
I mean, you're doing work now, but this ain't work, right?
I know. It's Sunday. I just left a brunch with my girlfriends to be here.
You can't hate that, really. I mean, like, and you're hanging out on a radio show.
Absolutely. But this is what I love because I'm the first in my family to graduate from college, to graduate from high school. Chronic teen pregnancy really existed in my family, but education really pulled me out of that cycle of poverty. And so it's changed my life tremendously. I have a 7-year-old daughter, and her life will be completely different than mine was growing up.
And that's why you're a Wonder Woman. You're teaching your daughter amazing things, and she's lead by example, I always say.
I hope so.
And you're forging a fantastic way here.
Thank you.
Was it ever a point in your thought process when you came up with this idea? First of all, where were you when you said, I'm doing this? This is something I want to do for everybody else.
Well, so I didn't create this organization. I can't even take credit for it.
Sure.
We are celebrating.
But you made a personal choice.
I did. We're celebrating 20 years of existence this year. And I actually started my career on the business side as a young, poor, you know, first generation student. I just wanted to make money. You know, when you're poor, you just want to make money. And
sure.
So I actually started my career in management consulting at Deloitte. And I traveled the world.
Cool.
And tried to teach companies how to be better and do better. And then I realized that didn't fulfill me. That wasn't my purpose that God had created me for. So I'm fortunate to be able to living in my purpose, on purpose, in this role right now.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
there. And so you found the organization and quickly climbed the ladders of the organization.
Well, I was hired in as the president and CEO. It had been around, and they hired me to grow it, to say we need to do more, to your point.
Sure.
Like, why not scale this? We
Go
were a
big.
Small organization, but we recognize that there's so many young people who need us. And so that's exactly what I came on board to do, is to grow the organization so that we can serve those 2,500 students. So we're in pursuit of that right now.
And you mentioned that you grew up in Chicago. Right.
I was born in Chicago. Yeah. My mom and dad actually met in Ida B. Wells housing project.
Really?
On the south side. Yep. And my mom, unfortunately, became a teen mom at 14. A couple of years later, she had me. And as I say, she had enough sense to get us out of Chicago, her two girls, to say, I don't want my girls to repeat this cycle. So she moved us to a small town in Michigan. But Chicago, I feel like, is my home.
Was your mom entrepreneurial minded? Was she a business go-getter, or she just had enough sense to get you out of there and you kind of developed your own chutzpah and your own? I mean, tell me about how'd you find that thing? Because all of my Wonder Women have that thing, that burning desire in their heart, in their belly, yeah, to do better and to get themselves out of the situations they're in, yeah, whether it's divorce, whether it's, you know, single parenting, entrepreneurship, all those things combined. I mean, you do them all. I mean, yeah, you're a product of everything I just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, what gives you that fire, that will? What ignites you in the morning to wake up and say, I'm going to do this again? Because a lot of women in your position don't do that. They, yeah, succumb to the pressures and unfortunately fold. And this whole segment, this whole portion of our show is about inspiring women listening.
Yeah. So there's two things, right, Frank? And one of them is internal. I think I've always felt that God created me to be something different and to change the world. And I thought that I would grow out of that desire to change the world. But as an adult, I still have this desire to change the world. And I feel like education is a tool to do that. So Chicago Scholars is a part of that. But the interesting thing about women, and I think about all people, is that doubt and fear creep into our psyche.
You think
so
it's a hormonal
often.
Thing?
No.
My wife says it all the time. She goes, is it my hormones?
No, men have it too. Men have it
too.
Oh,
I got hormones.
Men have this fear, right? And sometimes you feel like I don't deserve to do this thing, or I don't know how, and maybe you stop. And so externally, I've had amazing mentors. I've had other women who have spoken into me to say, you are brilliant, you are smart, you are capable, and you should be doing X. And because I respected them, I did that. And it was music to my ears to think, if they think I can do this, then I need to live up to their expectation. And I think that's the other reason why I love Chicago Scholars, is because we're a mentoring organization.
Right.
We pair every one of our students with multiple adult mentors to speak life into them, to let them know what they can be, even when they don't believe it themselves.
Brilliant. All right, we got to take a quick break. We're going to have more with Dominique Jordan Turner, President and CEO of Chicago Scholars, right after this break. Continuing our Wonder Woman conversation with this week's Wonder Woman, Dominique Jordan Turner, President and CEO of Chicago Scholars. Dominique, thanks so much for spending time on Sunday with me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been fun so far. We're going to do some fun things in this little segment we have here. So we're continuing talking about the Chicago Scholars, how you've gotten here. We know you've personally gone through your own tough times. And we mentioned, you know, how that has kind of been your fuel at the same time to keep pursuing the mission and the drive to help other kids do what you did, which is, A, come from a background that's not in your favor in terms of you know, financial and support. And your parents are still together? They divorced?
They're divorced.
They're divorced. Were they divorced when you were young?
They were.
Yeah.
They were, unfortunately.
And then you moved to Michigan, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And your mom had enough sense to get you out of Chicago and get you into a fresh, clean start. And that can do so much for people. Just in change of environment.
It does. It does. It shows you other possibilities. I happened to go to college in Atlanta, and that just opened up a whole new world to see, you know, personally, African-American people who look like me, who were thriving, who were leading, who were succeeding. I'd never seen that in my life. Coming from Chicago, you see Black people on the news and the negative stereotypes that exist.
It's very different climate in Chicago. I mean, I lived in New York, L.A., Florida. Just so different here. You know, I don't know why. Maybe it's the history here of Chicago, but there is always that attention you read about in the news.
It is. And that's the other thing that fuels me, Frank. So I got an email, and I often get emails from our students. And one student in particular emailed me a couple of months ago, and we all have heard about the Laquan McDonald story.
Sure.
And he emailed me and he said, you know, Laquan was my friend, right? We played together in the parks. We sat on my grandma's steps. He was funny. He told jokes. He was the life of the party. He was a nice guy, right? But what we see about him on the news makes it, you know, it villainizes him in some cases.
Sure.
And so, but he said, I'm so grateful for Chicago Scholars for giving me another path, right? Because it could have been, you know, a very similar path as Laquan. But because of Chicago Scholars, I chose something different. But that is what fuels me to say that we can change the outcome for young people if we just open up this path for them.
And it's beyond just a notion. You know, a lot of people talk the talk.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are walking the walk. You're making a difference. Yeah. And at least 500 kids' lives. And a lot of aspiration, I'm sure. Because even as a trickle effect to that 500, the mere fact that their friends, their family are seeing what's possible if you apply yourself is brilliant.
That's right. And that's why our mission is not just to get these young people to college and to graduate, but it's to get them back here to Chicago.
That's the side I want to talk about. All right. So most kids go away to college. They think they got it figured out. They come home. Their parents spent a boatload of money, or they, you know, they're in debt themselves, and they find themselves working at Starbucks.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And what I love about your program, all of the front end is great, but without the back end, it makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah. When you think about it, so between their freshman year, sophomore year, 40% of students will drop out of college. So we celebrate these young people going off to college and say, yay, you made it. But it's so hard to, I mean, it's culture shock in many cases,
yeah.
To get on these campuses of people who don't look like you, who may not be welcoming. And so 40% drop out. So we have to stick with them to cheer them on to graduate. But more than anything, to your point, they'll come back to Chicago and they'll work a job that they didn't need a college degree for. And so if we haven't taught them all of those non-cognitive skills about how to network, how to sell yourself,
the real life world of business and negotiation.
I agree.
I mean, I'm a product of the school of hard knocks.
That's right. So that's what we have to give.
You got to give that. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like you were born with that hustle.
I got hustle.
And I think that's, our good friend Kathleen Henson, her and I talk about this all the time. Some people have that sparkle, they just ooze confetti and they're just like that genuine, who I'm describing. It's just that unbelievable.
Kathleen's got it.
Yeah, she's got it. People got it. And I think that that's inherited. I think that you either are born with that burning, or you quickly learn it and it takes over your being.
One of my mottos is find a way or make one.
There is no such thing as no.
I don't accept no for an answer. If there is no answer, I'm going to create my own path.
Right.
I'll figure it out. Find a way.
That's
I'm going to make a way.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that knowledge you instill to the kids going away to school is probably fundamentally one of the most important things you could teach them.
Yeah.
They can learn all day in books. They could, have that book knowledge, come home in the real world and not know how to function and how to hustle and how to know when they're getting hustled.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
That's more important.
That's right. Because real success is learned in those unwritten rules. You're not
going
to learn it in a book, in a classroom. It's going to be from mentors, people throwing back what they've learned.
Yep.
So that is a critical part of our program.
Absolutely.
And to your point earlier, when you see these young people go back to the communities where they started, they are inspiring that next generation to say, oh, if he can do it, of course I can do it.
That's right. So. Hey, Dominique, this is the time of the show where we like to ask a set of questions, a la James Lipton in Behind the Actor Studio. and these are just going to be one-word answers, and you can do it to your best of your ability, and we're going to rapid fire through them.
Oh,
okay?
Darn.
Let's start with this one. What's your favorite word?
Amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite word?
Poor. When people describe our kids as poor and at risk.
Uh-huh.
It's so deficit based,
right?
They have so much potential, so many gifts. I'm sorry, you said one word.
No, you're good. No, you're good. Okay. Number three, what turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Helping people to live their best life. We were all created for a purpose, and to help somebody to live in that purpose turns me on.
Awesome. What turns you off creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Complainers.
Amen.
Complainers.
Amen. What sound or noise do you love?
The ocean. I just got back from a trip to the Bahamas with my 7-year-old for spring break, and it was the best just to listen to the ocean.
I could see your face just talking about it. You're there right now.
I am. I want to go back.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Crying and whining, either from my daughter or from my colleague.
Or someone else's kid. Yeah, I hear you.
You know.
All right. What's your favorite curse word?
Oh, darn.
You could say the first vowel of it.
It starts with a B and ends with an itch.
Mm, all right. I think we can all figure that one out. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I'd love to be a teacher. I'd like kids. I like young people.
Well, you are a teacher in your own way.
In a way. But a classroom setting would be fun.
Not to knock those teachers out there because you're all amazing, but you're doing stuff a little bit further than a teacher when you're actually getting them there.
Yeah, you know? I love what I do. I really
do. So it's like you work in tandem with the teachers.
That's right.
But
that's
I vary from. Let me just keep going. We got two more questions because we could talk all day. What profession would you not like to do?
Anything to do with medicine. I have a weak stomach. I don't like blood.
No needles, no blood.
No needles, right. No sickness. I like life, not death. So.
And finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Job well done. Job well done. You have done what I've asked you to do and called you to do.
Amen. So. Yeah. Beautiful stuff. Dominique Jordan Turner, President and CEO of Chicago Scholars, is this week's Wonder Woman. Thank you so much for coming out.
How can people
find out more information about the organization, things you have coming up?
They can visit us at chicagoscholars.org. We have an amazing event coming up this Friday, April 29th. It's our Untied Gala. It's the opposite of every traditional gala that you would go to. We're honoring 35 leaders under 35, and you can find out more information about that at chicagoscholars.org/2016 gala.
Awesome. You're the best. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here, and big guest coming up at right after the news at 2:35. We'll be right back. Yeah, baby. It's the Frank Fontana Show in our home stretch here. We're here till 3 o'clock. The boys from the beat are coming up next. And it's my house because I feel like it's my house right here. I got my family with me. My son Luca's here. My daughter Lola.
Hi,
and
Lola.
Say hi, Lola.
Say hi.
Hi, Dad.
Yeah, she's a little shy. And Luca.
Me.
Say hi, Luke.
Hi.
That's my boy. We're you're talking to and listening to the cast of the new show soon to hit the airwaves on FYI Network, Downtown Shabby. And for this one, you know, I've been in television a long time, hosted Design and Dime for many, many years here in Chicago, been a regular on the Today Show, been on several ABC, TLC, I've pretty much been on every network in television. And now I'm sharing the stage with my wife. She's actually going to be co-starring with me on the show Downtown Shabby. Sherry, say hi.
Hi, everyone.
How's it going?
It's going good.
So this is Sherry's first foray into television. So, Sherry, when you got the news that... So we'll walk you through the casting process first, and then we'll talk about your reaction, because it was... The way this came down, the network was looking for, you know, home improvement design experts, a team, whether it be contractor, a designer, wife, and that kind of thing. And initially, I wasn't thinking about you. I was like,
no.
You know, you were being super mom.
Right, exactly. So I'm in super mom mode right now.
Yeah. And you have a kid on your lap. I got one on my lap.
Which is normal for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't even think this would ever come about. It just happened kind of in a blink of an eye.
Well, was like, all right, Frank, you know, you have a partner? And I was like, Sherry looks at me, she goes, puts her hand up in school, like, I'll do it.
I'm like, it's me.
Yeah, I was like, okay, why not? I mean, she's worked with me for my whole, you know, career here in Chicago for over 7 years, been a part of Frank Fontana Home Solutions, behind the scenes, keeping it all together, doing a lot of administration and project management for me. She knows my world of design intimately because she lives with my annoying self through many, many designs, mm-hmm. right? How does our house look when we're doing a design?
Oh, it's pretty crazy with the kids, but it's also, when you're doing a design, it's basically chaos.
Chaos. There's stuff everywhere.
But it ends up being awesome.
Yeah. Well, the designs end up being awesome. The house looks like a mess afterwards.
Yeah, and I usually stress about how messy the house is until I finally get it fixed, and then you mess it again.
Right, exactly. So we brought her on the casting Skype, and you know, we're like, whatever.
Which, again, was super random.
Totally random.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, oh, sure, throw in front of the camera. We'll do this. And I didn't think anything was going to come out of it. I was like, all right, whatever. We'll move on. We get a call a couple months later like, hey, the network loves you guys.
I was like, what?
Yeah, like, what? And she's like, are you serious, Frank? I'm really going to have to be on television? Like, what do you mean? Like, I got to, like, do my hair and, like, you know, look cool and say things on television?
I'm
like,
while I'm taking care of the kids and running the business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so long story short, fast forward, we get there, we get cast, and, you know, it's like months go by, or we're waiting, and all of a sudden, you know, they're like, oh, by the way, we're going to start shooting the week of May 16th. And, you know, we're like, we got plenty of time. And then all of a sudden it started creeping up, right?
Honestly, I felt like there were months and months ahead of us. And I said, oh, I can wait to fix the house. I can wait to clean out the cabinets.
Yeah.
And then honestly, all of a sudden, it was like, we're 3 weeks out. So now we're scrambling, basically, in a good way, to get everything ready and done. And it's exciting. It's a lot of work. And it's awesome.
And you mentioned before, being a mom, you know, forget about the TV show. Being a mom is the hardest job in the world anyway. What makes you think you can do a reality show and be a mom at the same time?
I have no idea, honestly. I just am going to go for it. I've always wanted something amazing in my life and something to really experience. So I'm a mom first, and the kids are super challenging. They're at 4.5 and 2, yeah. And I love it. But we're just going to go for it and
see what
happens.
That's the best part of the show, is you're going to see the reality of that, you know, of what it's going to really take to manage a family and balance all this and make over, you know, really amazing homes. Throughout all of Illinois, which we're still casting for, and we'll give you that casting information a little bit later in the show. You know, a lot of people asking, like, what's your role in this show? Like, what do you think you're going to bring to the show, other than your, obviously, you know, years and years of experience with me?
Yeah, so I'm bringing the reality, really. We've been doing this for so long, you and I together, off camera, running a business, raising the kids. And so it's really just bringing that all together, full circle, for everyone to kind of see, and hopefully people can relate to it and just kind of watch it unfold.
Well, and she keeps saying that she's going to do stuff to me while I'm trying to be serious.
So I wouldn't consider myself funny, but
sarcastic.
I definitely tease Frank.
But, yeah, but by the way, she's being like really sweet right now. She's more sarcastic than she's sounding. Let me just say that, truth be told, and likes to poke fun at me all the time. So if I'm like rehearsing a line or something, she'll like come up behind me.
So when we first started dating,
yeah,
and I did this at your family's home when we first started
that's
dating,
right,
went to
that's
New
right.
York. So he would rehearse his lines in front of me, or even just I would hear him in the other room, and I would come out of the room without him knowing and just kind of blurt out his lines perfectly, for that matter. And
perfectly, really?
Yeah, kind of. And I kind of still do that. I take him out of the focus
the
sometimes,
seriousness,
in the serious
yeah.
mode, and I do crazy stuff that's, you know, fun or just joking. And so I really want that to come across on TV, and I want, you know, us to have fun with it while yeah. we're working hard.
Oh, I think so. I mean, the network is such a great network. And for those of you who are not familiar with FYI Network, it's a new A&E channel, and it's booming. It's the fastest growing lifestyle channel on cable television today. And it's got shows like Khloe Kardashian's Cocktails with Khloe's and the Snooki's Jersey Shore Flip. Mm-hmm. The hottest show on the network right now is Tiny House Nation. For those of you who are into this tiny house boom, which Sherry thinks we could live in.
I love it. I always tell Frank, I want to have a tiny house and just travel the world in this little home and park one day at a time and just enjoy it.
Yeah,
he thinks I'm crazy. But
you're insane.
Yeah,
I would never.
He always thinks I'm crazy. It,
we're in a studio right now that's maybe 400, not even 300 square feet.
Oh,
you hear our children in
it.
The background. Right now, they're bouncing off the walls. Thank God the studios are padded because you hear that thumping? That's my son. So
this is how the TV show will be.
Yeah.
I mean, there'll definitely be real moments of our children will be with us and experiencing it with us every single day. So you will hear them in the background. You will see them. It's not going to be this, you know,
like cookie cutter clean, like, oh, look how perfect this couple is. No. It's not. I mean, for us, we're very adamant and truthful in the fact that parenthood for us is not the easiest thing. I mean, we don't believe in babysitters, or you don't believe in babysitters much, other than family members, which many times are non-existent or available. So most of the time, we have the kids.
Yeah, I want this time with them. They're little, and I hear from so many people that it goes so fast, so I really want this time with them. So I spend as much time as possible. So with the show happening, I want them with us as much as they can. So it's not going to be this rehearsed, you know, cookie cutter show.
How could it be with kids?
It can't be.
I mean, we'll be trying to do a line, and Lola will be climbing on your leg like a little monkey.
Just so you know, I may be holding Lola in one hand and taking the hammer and shooting nails in the wall. I mean, it just may be that.
I don't know if OSHA would approve of that, but
I'll wear glasses.
Wear glasses and some kind of barrier to protect any some firing back of the nail gun.
True.
Yeah. Well, we've been there before. Remember when you came to the Today Show and Kathy Lee Gifford blew hot wax all over Luca?
Yeah.
Hey, Luke, you remember that?
He didn't get hurt.
Yeah, we were up at the Today Show one time, and we were doing a segment. The family came to visit. Ross, I don't know if I ever told you about this.
I'm very intrigued by that sentence.
Yeah. She's lucky we didn't own the Today Show after that.
I was going to say, exactly.
I was doing this bit where I was melting crayons on a canvas to create, like, melted crayon art.
Okay.
And it's kind of a kid-friendly segment. So we brought our kids up there, and I thought, or Luca at the time. And the Sherry was holding Luca, and Kathy Lee and Hoda are like, oh, bring your family on.
And so I'm like sitting there smiling away.
Smiling away, like, oh my God, I'm on national television. She's not even paying attention. At the same time, Kathy Lee takes this hot air gun, and the overspray from the hot wax is shooting off of the canvas onto my son's face.
And how old is he?
He was like 2.5 at the time, maybe.
Somewhere 3,
maybe. And he was so consumed what was going on, didn't realize it. And he's like, you know, flicking his face on camera. Right. And after the segment like finished, she obviously didn't say anything on air, but she was so upset and like apologetic. And she's like, oh my God, I can't believe I burned your kid.
Because had she not been, it would have been the Today Show brought to you by Frank and Cherry
Fontaine. Right, owned by Frank and Cherry Fontaine, which would be nice. Listen, we're going to have a lot more stories after this. We do have to take a quick break, and we'll give you some casting information, some updates on the format of the show. We're learning more as we, you know, this is so new, folks. We're starting a brand new national television show from scratch. From the inside out, that means from the production side up until what we're actually going to do and say and deliver on camera. So it's going to be really interesting. We'll tell you all about it right after the break. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. That's me. Joining me for the next remainder of the show until 3 o'clock. The beat comes up after that. My wife, Sherry Fontana, and co-star of the upcoming TV show Downtown Shabby on the FYI Network. Sherry Fontana, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
She always makes fun of me when I do host voiced. Yeah, she's like, why are you doing host voice at home? I'm like, what do you mean? That's how I talk.
And it's funny because I keep telling Frank that...
Excuse our daughter in the back. She wants to watch Sophia the First.
Okay. I'm not.
This is
host.
Real parenting problems, Ross Conkred. Welcome
yes,
to
is.
Our world.
It okay? is real parenting problems.
You will learn quickly. You will not be able to finish a conversation.
No, you have to stretch that out. No. Which is good. I mean, like, it helps people who don't like to talk. You can just have
or have little to say to each other.
Right. That's what. Yeah. Exactly. But this is great. This is what the show's all about.
Sure. So Sherry wants to flip the tables here on the show and ask me questions.
Perfect.
So I know you got a couple questions,
I
too.
I do.
So we'll get to it. Sherry, go ahead. Take over the show.
Okay, so I really have been wondering this. So you've been in television for about 15-plus years.
Yes.
You've built this platform,
yes.
Radio, books, etc. How are you going to handle having myself, Luca, and Lola in the mix of all this?
Good question. I ponder it often, but you know, you have to do one thing first, release the ego, you know, like, and get that out of it, the equation, because you know, I have been doing television on my own and built a huge platform, you know, for the last 15 years. And now it's a share of the stage kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I welcome it, you know, for real. I think it's going to be an amazing life experience nonetheless. You know, for our family to share this journey, to have it documented on national television, for our kids to look back in, you know, 10 years or so after we've done 500 episodes. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow, we grew up on television in such a positive way. Unlike shows like The Kardashians and stuff like that, where, you know, it's maybe not always the most positive thing.
Well, when I met you the very first week, you told me, you know, we can't get serious. I'm moving back to L.A., and I really like you.
You'll
love
this one, Ross.
Within the first week?
The first week. Literally. No, this was my precursor to any girl I met.
You know what? I'm going back to L.A., and needless to say, you're still here. But in all honesty...
and two children later.
Frank did tell me, once he knew he was staying here and we got married and had kids, he said, I will find a way to keep my career, work hard, and incorporate you somehow into this. And we've done that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that is a true story. And every turn in my career, I've tried to stay, because I'm a family guy. You know,
yeah.
I love being with my kids. I
this
love my
is
son.
This is who you are.
This is who I am. I mean, it's no joke. We literally take our kids everywhere, sometimes to a fault. But you know what? You look back in life, what else do you want to remember?
Right.
You know, it's like, who cares about all the material crap you bought and all that stuff you've seen? It's about the memories with your family at the end of the day. It's your blood. It's your, you know. It's an extension of your legacy.
You know what? It can't be perfect all the time. Life in general, TV shows, radio, whatever it may be. But in the end, it's all about the experience. I really believe that. And I'm learning that as we go. But really is the truth.
I told Sherry the other day, Ross, that she has the best position in all this. There's no expectations for her.
That's true.
I have all this expectation of delivering a, you know, the hosting guy.
But I mean, like, she still has to be married to you. So
this is true. That's a whole other show, right?
Yes, it is.
No, so my question for both of you is, and I'm always fascinated by husband and wives who work together. And although this is a new adventure with the TV show, mm-hmm. you guys have been working together since you've gotten together.
Yeah.
Ever since your brilliant, oh, we can't get serious.
that worked.
That really did. but how do you guys, I mean, it sounds like you guys just incorporate everything into it, but how do you guys find that balance to
at home even
have or work talk not always be marriage talk?
Well, I mean, you want to answer that? And I'll have my opinion on it.
I feel like so Frank and I are super great communicators with each other. So I feel like we're able to do that, and we did it so much for the last few years that it's kind of like
pre-kids.
We're in work right. mode right now. But, you know, you have to find time. And there's challenging moments and days sometimes. But you always have to kind of reconnect, recenter yourself, and just get a plan. And then, of course, like the next day,
the plan goes out the window.
But
yeah, but I think she's right. It's about every time I'm down, she's up. So she's pulling me up, vice versa. You know,
right.
So it's really a balance. And quite honestly, Ross, our life has been, you know, she's gotten used to the fact that I'm flying to New York for 3 days for the Today Show. I'm going to be knee deep in a design, so I'm not going to see you for a whole day or two. You know, like it. Mm-hmm. So she's gotten snippets of that. This is completely immersed. You know, mm-hmm. she's part of it now. It's like I told her, like, there's no more practice. It's now. You know, like, we have to. Everything we've been. Oh, we'll put off. We'll wait. We'll procrastinate. You know,
wait till they get older.
There's no more of it.
I went from serious work mode. I used to work at Navy Pier, and I went from independent work mode to kid mode, and basically was in like hibernation for a few years.
Yeah.
So this is my kind of like
coming out
and taking the world, you know, by the horns and kind of making it happen with children. So I'm very excited. It's
with awesome background music for the radio.
Totally, yeah. What is that, Sophia the First or something?
Can you hear? I'm sorry.
No, I'm being completely serious. That's hysterical to me. That's the
again.
It's
welcome
a perfect
to our
bed.
World.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a perfect bed for the segment.
I'm on like major like conference calls with the networks and like all these high powered executives, and I'm if they seen what I was doing, like playing superheroes with my son while I'm on these phone calls.
Okay,
and,
but you can handle it.
Yeah, I'm a multitasker.
I jump into this, Ross. Honestly, I'm on a call.
Right.
I'm holding my daughter. I'm in the bathroom with my son, and I'm literally trying to focus. So this has been these few weeks have been such a growing.
Let's be real. It's been hard. She's been going through it, man.
I sometimes sit down at night and I'm like, don't talk to me for like 15 minutes, and I sit there and I'm like, okay, I can do this. But
yeah.
It's been hard. It's hard.
Yeah, but in a good, you know, like it's a every parent can say it's hard, and you know, I mean,
right.
as a new parent, and it'll get harder and better and easier and harder. So
yep.
I mean, it's like it's not necessarily a like we're not sitting here saying we're, you know, unfortunate because of this tough TV show that we've had. We're saying that we get it. You know, we're blessed. We have this great, you know, opportunity presented to us, and we have the factor of the real life normal parenting ups and downs to go along
right.
with it. It's just, you know, it's going to make for fantastic television.
That's what
it
I'm
really
looking
is.
Forward
I mean,
to.
I guess that's why they cast us to say, it was funny because our producer, Colonel, asked us the other day, he says, Frank, he's like, you know, doing everything you've done in your career. He's like, why would you do this? And this is the guy who's our showrunner. He's like the guy responsible for creating our show. And Sharon and I looked at each other and I'm like, why is he asking this question?
I'm like, does he know something we don't know?
Yeah, like, is he saying, like, is this going to be really scary or what? But, no, he says he likes to. He actually produced the show The Prophet.
Okay.
That was, you know, based out of Chicago as
yeah.
well. So he's very familiar with Chicago. And he said he asked the same of the host of The Prophet, you know. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's passion, man.
Mm-hmm.
I got a passion for helping people, for transforming their lives through design. And Sherry shares that passion. She's a super passionate mom. She's a super passionate cook and super passionate about our culture. You know, and that's the other thing, folks. Have you ever seen two Italians who are both Aries in a room together who disagree on something?
Things are going to get fun.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But that's the conflict resolution is always a key to a good
resolution. You have to come back
together. Yeah, to a good relationship. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with the casting info. If you want to be a part of our crazy life and this awesome new renovation reality show, we'll give you all the details one more time and the email address on how to apply yourself. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back. All right, that about does it for us here on the Frank Fontana Show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And we just want to give you that casting information for the new show, Downtown Shabby, starring myself and my wife, Sherry. You go to Property Rehab Casting. That's Property Rehab Casting at gmail.com. You can also go to my website at frankfontana.net. Just click on the button that says TV show. There's the casting information on there. That's frankfontana.net. If you want to apply and you have a budget for a home and you have an older home, older than 1950, and you want a crack team of renovation and design experts to come in and help you make that the most beautiful home you've ever seen in your life, apply for the show now. We still have a couple slots left of homeowners. That's propertyrehabcasting at gmail.com. Sherry, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Yeah, I'll see you soon, right? In like 30 seconds?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Thank you.